Welcome to Lauro Rosati's podcast, Verification Perspectives. Lauro's guest today is Reich Brinkman, President and CEO of OneSpin Solutions. Let's hear from Lauro and Reich on the challenges in verifying semiconductor chip design targeting artificial intelligence, or AI.
Welcome, Reich. Recently, I had the pleasure to interview you on what AI can do to help designing chips. You highlighted four rather different applications where AI can have a positive impact in the endeavor. Today, I wish to limit the scope and focus on verification of hardware designs targeted to AI and AI applications implemented in hardware. To begin with, what is the distinction between the two?
Thanks, Laura. This is a very interesting topic, and I'm having the pleasure of talking to you about this topic here. So first, the question of implementing AI applications in hardware is around mapping an algorithm that people have developed for an AI application into some sort of hardware platform. That could be, for example, an ASIC, an FPGA, a DSP, or even something more sophisticated that people haven't come up with and are working on right now. And there you have to deal with verification challenges that include the verification of the algorithm itself, which is some topic by itself that we might not want to go into. But if people have decided on the platform and the architecture they are trying to map to, they usually trust the implementation flow in the platform. Sometimes more rigor is required when you're targeting safety-relevant applications with your AI algorithm. You may use specific verification techniques for the algorithm itself. But in essence, the big challenge is to build and to pick the right platform for the application. So this is the second part of it. The platforms are the target of that mapping, and usually such a platform consists of a general-purpose processor to arrange the data and administrate all the type of computations that you want to do, plus some sort of accelerators that are specific to the application or can be more generic, and the memory subsystem and an I/O, of course, to get the data in and out. These platforms need to be very robust, so maybe even provide some safety guarantees if you're looking into the automotive space. Today, I would say most of the established processor companies, if not all, and the FPGA companies, as well as cloud computing companies, are working on these type of architectures and platforms in order to accelerate their computation.
Yeah.
There are even more than 80 startups I heard lately at the Global Semiconductor Alliance Forum here in Munich that are working on AI accelerators to address this space.
Really?
So it's an enormously interesting and big space to work in right now. And to give you an example of what the trends are, there, especially in the automotive space, people are considering centralized compute platforms for cars with a high memory bandwidth and high connection interconnect within the system that allow more flexibility and lower cost overhead for this type of applications. So it's a very challenging space to work in.
Okay, well, quite interesting, Reich. I didn't expect to see such a activity behind AI. But everybody talks about that. Anyway, you are mentioning as hardware platforms, DSPs, FPGAs, general purpose processors, etc. Is it possible for you to highlight briefly the advantages and drawbacks of each of these platforms?
So generally, there's always the performance versus flexibility trade-off to be considered in these applications. For example, FPGAs and ASICs, they are very rigid in the type of architectures they can support on the AI side. They offer better performance, better throughput, latency, power, and maybe accuracy, but they're very rigid, and it's hard to map general algorithms easily to those architectures.
I see.
So if you consider higher performance, then a more specialized architecture like an FPGA or even an ASIC with more rigid architecture may be applicable. But if you want to build general algorithms and may want to change a lot on the architectural side of the algorithm itself, then it's hard to make this decision early in the design. So the challenge is to have a highly automated mapping from the algorithm to the hardware platform. And that's easier if you use CPUs and GPUs and even DSPs, but harder for FPGAs and even more rigid accelerators. So performance is harder for CPUs and GPUs to achieve, especially when it's coming to power. But in general, I would say the trend is, or the learning that people have at the moment is that it's hard to achieve what you need by a single approach.
I agree with you.
I could give you some examples here for that. Xilinx, for example, is developing their new adaptive computing platform with the Everest FPGA type of device. And that's not even an FPGA. It's a combination of FPGA with sophisticated DSPs, distributed memory, and it's targeting software programmers on a C++ and Python level, as well as hardware programmers at the same time. It tries to make the FPGA more flexible and easier to target from the algorithmic side.
Mm-hmm.
So the limitation I just mentioned earlier is one thing that people have acknowledged and are trying to get around a little bit by making the architectures more flexible.
Mm.
Another example could be from a different angle, the Calray massively parallel processor array. This one is taking the approach from the general purpose computing side and trying to make this more scalable using 288 cores in the latest version of the device. And it's targeting AI applications as well as data centers. And these are both examples for heterogeneous approaches for reconfigurable or adaptive computing, where general purpose computing is combined with programmable accelerators. And I think that's the big trend in the last, I would say, 12 months in this space.
Mm-hmm.
And what they have in common is they're all very complex designs and very hard and difficult to verify.
Interesting you mentioned verify, because one question I wanted to ask you is regarding design verification, which is the field that we are operating in, you and me. In today, in our toolbox of the verification engineer, you have formal tools, simulation tools, emulators, FPGA, prototyping. Are these adequate for verifying AI designs that you were describing a moment ago? And if not, why not?
Well, in general, unfortunately, they're not adequate. And that is because there are just very many different architectures to be explored by the designers of such systems at the moment. And what they require is a fast and scalable design and verification environment. And there, I think the limitations at the moment are on the automation and the capacity side. What we also need to consider here is there are multiple levels on the verification and design side. So, for example, there's the verification of the building blocks, such as the DSPs and the multiply accumulate units, and the verification of the aggregation of those blocks. These smaller blocks that people build, they are combined into massive chips, and that's a huge investment for companies developing those. So if you're doing a 7-nanometer design, you can't risk any problems on either level. So you want to make sure that you have a very rigorous verification in place on both levels, the SoC level and the building blocks.
Mm-hmm.
On the building blocks, for example, that's a space where standard verification technology may be applicable. But what you would add or want to have in this space is a higher degree of automation and confidence. And that's where, for example, formal can add value.
Mm-hmm.
As an example for that, I could name here DSPs that are generated from the instruction set architecture level automatically by one of our customers, Bosch, and then automatically formally verified by generated assertions, where even the assertion set itself is tested for gaps and confidence in the spec. So this is an interesting approach that they have presented at DVCon Europe lately and got the best paper award for.
Wow.
What it allows then is to design and verify on the instruction set architecture level and automate a great deal of work. So that brings a lot of value because it's allowing to be just faster in the design.
Mm-hmm.
Another example could be floating point units that support fast multiply accumulate or fused multiply accumulate. And those are at the heart of many of the AI implementations. So most algorithms that are used today, if you look at neural networks and others, are basically big tensor operations that use multiplication and additions on floating point. And they need to be scaled into different sizes and for different needs.
Yeah.
This is creating a big verification problem that can be addressed by automatically verifying the implementation against the IEEE standard for floating point. There's an example here from Xilinx that presented at DVCon US, where they have used one of our formal verification IPs and an app to do that. So it is, again, an example where the scalability and the performance on the design flow comes from the automation that is provided and the rigor that formal can prove here.
I see.
Now, on the other level, on the aggregate level, the SoC level, we are looking at the massive size of designs, and that's where typical approaches break down and the current tools are usually not fit for the purpose at the moment. So that's a challenge right now that EDA has to address. For example, if you look at verifying the connections between the modules and the module instances on a 10 billion gate design, then it's not just the size of the design itself that requires a huge tool capacity, it's also the human capacity that's getting to a limit. For example, if you consider the effort of specifying and all these connections you need to look for, then that's a very tedious and error-prone approach. And you have to deal with tens of thousands of modules and millions of instances with very deep hierarchies. So both sides, the tool side and the manual effort, are a big challenge here, and new approaches are necessary, and that's where EDA companies can work on and help. There are other application challenges, for example, in autonomous driving and other systems, where you have to consider functional safety. And there the problem is, on the one hand, the technology side, but also doing the whole functional safety verification within the budget and time frame that you have at hand. So, as I said, in these spaces, traditional approaches break down and new solutions need to be provided by the EDA industry.
Yeah, I agree, Rick. I think this was a very enlightening discussion today, and I'm sure that our audience will learn from it. To wrap up, is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I would just add that I think these are exciting times for anyone in the chip industry, as well as in the EDA. We are seeing a whole lot of new computer architectures, and these are very interesting because they are breaking with the von Neumann principle in some cases and are bringing computing to a totally different level. I think this poses a big opportunity for agile EDA companies with a significant technology portfolio. And we will address these challenges as they come along. I'm sure we haven't seen all of what's out there and what we will see. So it's a very exciting place to be in.
Yeah, I agree with you, right? It was good talking to you. I wish you a good day.
Thank you, Lauro.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast of Lauro Rosati's Verification Perspectives. Join us next time for another interesting and in-depth conversation. For more episodes, please visit www.rizzati.com. That's R-I-Z-Z-A-T-T-I.com.